From a windowless giant underground metal room, apparently.
Michael, and you're just having too much fun with your new toy.
I am. I'm having too much fun with my Lexicon MX200, which you can go to the... Oh, I think there's still the flange on. Hang on a sec. Okay, there we go. Wait, nope. Yep, no, that's off. Okay, so who we got there? On the Freedom Fiends. Identify yourselves, friend or foe?
Friend, of course.
Yep. Who's that?
We got the...
Come on, guys. Live radio. Come on.
Jabbering Coon Cat, live from
Chandler?
Maine.
Chandler. And,
yeah, Chandler. I forget sometimes. You know, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
I have so many names.
Yeah. Who else we got?
Hey, guys. It's the Funky Fox, also known as Garrett Fox. Or I guess that would be the other way around. Garrett Fox, also known as the Funky Fox.
You were late today.
I was late today. I was in a very involved conversation with my dear sweet mother.
You were hungover. I've talked to your dear sweet mother. Oh, now that I'm back on Facebook, can I add her back?
Would
you prefer I didn't?
Have at it.
Yeah, so Garrett was up late. I called Garrett last night. He's been begging to have more shifts, and I wanted to give him more shifts. And I called him up to give him another shift, and he was hammered, so I didn't give him another shift. I was like, man.
Good call.
Did you call me last night?
I talked to you last night. You were playing...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Cards Against Humanity with Nikki Darling and Ed Reagan.
Them
were
some good
bitches.
We were
having a grand old time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like you guys were having fun.
Yeah. Cards Against Humanity, what's it been called? Like poker for bad people or something like that? It's not even poker. No, like some other game. Like
is it like apples to apples?
Yeah, it's like scategories for evil people.
Yeah, there's some disturbing cards on there.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that. Who won, the cards or humanity or you?
The cards took the cake.
What is apples to apples? I've heard it described as apples to apples for awful people. That's what I've heard Cards Against Humanity described as. And what is I don't know what apples to apples is.
Go ahead, Chandler. All right, it's a card game where you have a person draw a card and lay it down, and it'll say, like, I don't know, Winston Churchill or something. You know, it's usually a proper noun or whatever. And you look at the cards in your hand, and they have some pretty wild descriptions, and you lay down a description, and each person lays one down, and the guy who draws the card gets to look at them all and choose one that fits the card the best. And if you get it, it's called the green card. It's really fun.
So it's kind of a storytelling word game, random number generator with analog cards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
a storytelling game. It's kind of like the Bitcoin BS generator that I created, which you can go to freedomfiends.com/BS. And it's got a random generator with lists of adjectives, nouns, and verbs related to cryptocurrency. And you can just make up... Some of them make a lot of sense. Some of them are ridiculous. Like, okay, let me just press the make BS button here. And again, that's freedomfiends.com/BS. Monetize proof of stake dust transactions. Okay, that's possible. Implement distributed confirmations. That's kind of, yeah, maybe. Blockchain offline pools. Impossible. Syndicate cryptographic metacoins. Syndicate nodeless cryptography. Innovate electronic cash miners. Engage altcoin verifications. Satoshi double spend proof ASICs. Okay, some of these, and if you don't know anything about cryptocurrencies, you're like, what? And if you do, you're like, ha, 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 where do I find that? At freedomfiends.com/BS. So go on about Cards Against Humanity.
The one thing I did want to kind of point out is, like what Chandler was saying, each person like gets a turn to pick out one of the, I guess it's a green card, and you really have to, like, all the other players around the table have to play that person's personality, right?
Yes.
So you kind of need to know who you're playing with a little bit, because sometimes, like, you can put out a card to, you know, say, okay, you know, who was the worst tyrant of all times or whatever. And they're just maybe so happen to be somebody who has like the Hitler card. But you may not want to use that card for this particular person. Maybe you would stand a better chance of getting your card picked by this person if you threw out like the Oprah card or something like that.
Well, that's I've won that game more than once by having a sense of humor. You know, you put down something that maybe doesn't really describe the card, but it's completely ridiculous and quite humorous, and people appreciate that. So you're totally right. You have to know the people you're playing against.
Yeah, it's a very good social game. You can have like up to 20 people playing at one time.
It's an extraordinarily popular game. I heard it all people talk about it all over Porkfest, and I've heard about it all over the interwebs. And the interesting thing about this game. Okay, I mean, it's really dark. It's, like, not rated G, and it's got cussing.
Well, that's Cards Against Humanity. Apples to apples isn't quite so bad.
Oh, which were you were talking about Cards Against Humanity, though, right?
No, we were talking about apples to apples.
Yeah, they're both played the same way. It's literally the same game. It's the same game with the topics, the content's
with
different.
With ruder topics and content. Yeah. So the interesting thing is, to me, that a couple things. One is, this game was developed from a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign, and the game is released free under a Creative Commons license. So basically, this is a game that only can exist now and be popular. It couldn't have existed and been popular like 30 years ago or even 10 years ago because, you know, making one copy of a game, you know, there's a lot of work coming up with it, but making one copy of it doesn't cost much. But, like, to get it out to where it's a popular thing and you can find a lot of people anywhere who can play it, that takes money. And before, I wouldn't just say the internet, but before, like, the later part of the internet, the last 10 years or so of, like, everything being distributed and things like Creative Commons license existing, you would have had to go to a game company. You would have had to go to Milton Bradley and say, I want to have this game with lots of cussing and murder. And they would have been like, get out of our office, security. You know, but you don't have to rely on central, giant, brick-and-mortar points of distribution anymore. And that's one of the beautiful things about our society. And I think it's a great time to be alive. And especially for me, and I'm older than you guys, but it's like, I mean, there's kids now who, you know, they've never seen a landline and they've never seen, you know, a film camera and they've never
black and white TV
and they've never seen a black and white TV and they've never seen, you know, tape recorders. And I'm not saying, oh, those poor children. It's like, hey, the technology's great. And, you know, why need that background? But first of all, having had that background, like having developed, you know, film in a dark room and having for me recorded, you know, on 16 track and 24 track tape and having, you know, had the clicker on the TV that having like, you know, done video editing. That's like one video player to another kind of stuff makes you a lot better. You know, I'm really good at a lot of different media stuff. And a lot of it's because I learned on analog. It's kind of like training while running with weights or something, but it also just helps you understand the thing better. But I love seeing the changes in my lifetime, and it's not scary to me, you know, whereas like people like my dad's generation. I mean, my dad was born in 1921. Is that correct? Yeah. 21. He's 94, 93. And, you know, there were barely automobiles in 1921. Were there even automobiles in 1921? Yeah, there were.
Yes, there were.
There was barely. Silver in money.
Oh, I have it. My grandfather bought a brand new car. He was a farmer, and he used to take silver dollars and throw them through a crack in the wall. And when he wanted to buy a car, he'd like break the wall open and take them out, and then he'd seal the wall back up with plaster. And he bought more than one car, bringing like, you know, a 30-gallon milk container partially full of silver dollars into the car dealership and just pouring them out and driving out with a new car.
Can you imagine trying to do that today?
No. I mean, I'm thinking of the video of the guy who's like trying to buy a cheeseburger with a gold coin.
Yeah.
A gold coin. Like, you know, like it's $1,800 coin. And they're like, I'm sorry, sir. I can't accept that. It's not money, you know.
Yep. I saw that video. I would have happily taken that gold coin and bought that man a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering how many times he went around and like people were like, sure. Because there's got to be a few people out there, even in the fast food industry, that know.
It's creative editing. Mark Dice is great, but I'm sure there's some creative editing. I mean, Mark Dice is basically doing exactly the jaywalking thing from the Jay Leno show, you know, where you walk up to people on the street, ask them a question, and they give a stupid answer, and it's supposed to show how stupid people are. But do you think Jay Leno shows everyone who answers? If someone answers intelligently, it's not, it doesn't work, funny. It doesn't fit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any fun to watch.
So yeah, Cards Against Humanity wouldn't exist without the internet and the result of the internet, which is distributed crowdfunding, everything, you know, legal licenses, etc. Go ahead, Chandler.
I was just going to say, I had this thought come to my mind today. I've been out in the public more recently with Pork.
Me too.
I know, man. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, with Pork Fest and everything and just getting out and about in the neighborhood. I was walking around this morning and this thought came into my mind and I had to write it down, and it's just, life is a circus full of mad clowns and poorly trained monkeys.
That's pretty awesome. That's the title of a novel, if not a t-shirt.
It's awesome. I thought about making it into a t-shirt.
Say it again. Just,
life is a circus full of mad clowns and poorly trained monkeys.
Do you mind if that's the name of this episode?
Absolutely, man.
I have a picture of my cats that'll look good with it that I took of them looking really strange.
Well, we need to find some poorly trained monkeys to Photoshop in there. So, in other words, just go, like, take a picture of... Well, never mind. I won't be mean. I deal with the mall. Public far too... Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was going
to
say.
So, what else is on your mind, gentlemen? You got 2 minutes before we go to the ads here.
So, okay, yeah. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was.
Garrett?
That makes for excellent radio.
I wasn't going to point that out, but this is a teaching hospital. You know, they say in a court of law that an attorney should never ask, or a prosecutor should never ask a witness a question that they don't already know how they're going to answer. And the same is true in radio. You don't throw to the guy when he doesn't have anything. Throwing is saying, and Chandler, what do you got on your mind? But I did say
way too much.
For my defense, I did say at the beginning of this, you were pitching ideas, and I said, write them down, make a list of them. When I throw to you, you can say, yes, my next topic is, and that's your lesson for the day. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Can I get a mew?
Meow.
Worms. Okay, so what's your next topic here, Chandler? You're well prepared and ready to go. That's our radio lesson for the day. So what is it? I'm going to throw to Chandler. So Chandler, go.
So there's a article on Arm Your Mind for Liberty, George Donnelly's site.
Which is AYMFL.com. It's George Donnelly's site. Yep.
Yes. And it's called Pork Fest Will Be Raided. Prepare now. So I posted this on Facebook yesterday, and my initial statement was, if Porkfest is ever raided, the thugs in charge will, you know, they'll regret it. And that generated a lot of controversy, as in saying, no, I don't think so. You know, it'll come down.
For those who don't know, and this is another radio tip, not everybody listening knows what every not everyone listening to this is a libertarian who spends all their time on ANCAP blogs like we do. So Porkfest is the Porcupine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire that all three of us were at for all last week. And it's in the White Mountains. It's at a campsite. It's in the middle of the woods. It's been called like, you know, Burning Man with Bitcoin or Burning Man for libertarians or something. And it kind of is. It's kind of a celebration. It's got a lot of workshops. It's got workshops on, you know, alternative currencies, gold, gardening, make your own AR-15, lock picking. There were
beekeeping, brewing.
There were reports of marijuana smoke there. There were reports that there was home-brewed liquor being sold there without a license. There was un-government-approved, a whole bunch of nanny laws being broken, allegedly. You know, there's a report that Ian Freeman was tripping on radio on this show. there was, so it's basically a bunch of stoned hippies in the woods all carrying guns, which is something you'd think the government would want to raid, but it's been going, they had the 11th, it's been going 11 years and it's not been raided yet. And, you know, I kind of think that cops would have to think twice of, let's go into where there are 2,000 people, 500 of whom are armed, at least visibly armed, let alone concealed carry or have a rifle in their tent or in their camper. You know, that's, cops like to raid non-criminals. They love to bust people. You know, they don't like to go into the ghetto where there's a bunch of hardcore, tatted out thugs who all have, you know, home converted machine guns and machine pistols, who all have two strikes and are willing to die rather than go back to prison. They like to raid the straight dude that lives in the suburbs that has a gun that has the shoulder thing that goes up and isn't really a criminal and doesn't do anything violent, because that guy is easier to raid. He won't shoot back, most likely, and he has a lot more cool stuff to steal, you know, than the guys in the ghetto. So they don't really like to risk their lives to go, you know, get someone on selling homemade beer without a tax stamp or smoking some weed. So going into Porkfest to raid it, it would be a crapshoot, man. It would be there's a lot of people running around saying it's time to shoot cops, and I don't agree with that yet, but it would not be the place to raid if you wanted to be a goon who raids things and gets to say, oh, we took 7 ounces of marijuana and 1 gallon of homemade beer and we're highly successful and it cost $300,000 of taxpayer money and involved a year of planning and, you know, do the kind of crap they do on TV where they look like they're making a difference to the square people. So, yeah, it would be weird to raid.
Well, you know, and the thing is, when I posted that, I think people took it as it would be a shooting war. And that wasn't really my intent, although I do believe, just from my 2 years experience at Porkfest, that were the police to raid that and start pushing people around, there probably are people who would defend themselves.
At minimum, there would be 50 video cameras filming the cop from every angle. So if he messed up in any way, you know, he'd probably end up getting sued or embarrassed out of his job.
Right. So the article talks about how, like, it would involve the DEA, probably the FBI. They'd go in at dawn. You know, they'd probably, like,
when I'm in my hotel room and not at Porkfest.
Right. Like, they'd go in when everyone's recovering from Buzz's
from
big
hangover.
Gay dance party.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's happened a lot. You know, a lot of armies have attacked on, you know, January 1st at 6 in the morning when everyone's hung over from New Year's celebrations. Yeah. We'll be back with more on the future of liberty and goonery after this trip to the market.
Word.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Sounds like the Central Chipmunk.
The Central Chipmunk. Yeah. So this is
not
Michael
very
Dean.
Threatening.
Yeah. Now I got the flanging on. We'll just have a little bit of flanging because it sounds really cool and stony. How are your brains today, gentlemen?
Melted. Because
yeah,
of the flange.
A little off now.
So, we're talking about George Donnelly. First of all, we got an announcement. Freedom Fiends are having a button sale for the next month. $10 button pack of 10 buttons, Freedom Fiends buttons, is $5. You go to freedomfiends.com, click on the link that says buttons. You can pay with PayPal or with Bitcoin. And I am losing, I figured it out, I'm losing 23 cents with postage on every button pack doing that. And I'm sending you a data DVD of the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, the new cut, the statism free cut, and a bunch of Freedom Fiends episodes. So, you know, if you're somewhere that doesn't have great internet, you'll have a bunch without having to download them. So we're talking about George Donnelly. He is a kind of libertarian rock star, a celebritarian. Is that what you kids are calling it?
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah. And I've had personal dealings with this guy, and I don't like dealing with him. He is kind of a control freak, and I'm there. I said it. I was raising money for my friend Kofi, and George Donnelly wrote me and said, "Only I am authorized to raise money for Kofi. You must immediately delete your fundraiser for Kofi and send people to mine." And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Kofi personally asked me to do that. And then that same exact thing happened again with some other fundraiser. I think it was Adam Kokesh or something. It was something to do with Adam Kokesh. And so the guy is kind of in some situations, especially with fundraising, I believe he is honest to a fault. I believe his heart would stop if he stole a penny or a Satoshi from anybody. But with fundraising, he has this absolute like need to be in control. If someone said to him, "Yeah, I want you to take care of this," but without checking to see if that person, you know, also asked me or someone else to do it. So
is George Donnelly the cat that does like the insurance thing for libertarians?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yep. And
Liberty Mutual or something.
I don't know exactly the details of that. I always fantasize that it means, you know, if you're being raided by the thugs, you can call a cell number and he'll send his own thugs over to protect you. But I don't think it's quite that.
Not quite.
I think it's more like he'll have people call the police and hassle them. And there's some other things. I mean, it looks like an interesting thing, and I'm not going to bash it. It's just I have a fantasy of it being much cooler, but it would be like...
We'll get there.
You will get there. Yeah. Yeah. Like doing it the way I think you should do it, everyone involved would probably go to prison for life for doing, you know, the ethical response that would be needed in that situation. But,
you know, real quick though,
on the
money thing, you know, I'm not coming into this guy's defense or anything, but I've dealt with like fundraisers in the past and stuff. And it can be a real pain when there's a lot of hands in the pot, if you will.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with money. So I wonder if that's kind of where that comes from.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was like the exact same response, like a year apart. just it seemed like this is what he does in this situation, because it just it felt exactly the same. And the thing was, like, Kofi is in Africa in a place like he doesn't have electricity at his house, and he has to go into town and catch a bus to go into town and use a web cafe to access the internet. And it's like, you know, $1 a minute, which is like probably more than he makes a day there. So it's hard to, you know, you can't just, I couldn't just say like, yeah, ask Kofi right now. It's like, you know, you ask Kofi and he writes back in 3 days kind of thing. So
yeah, you can't just text him.
And I think, you know, Adam Kokesh was in jail at the time. So both times, to give George the benefit of doubt, it was a situation where you couldn't just call the person immediately or email them and ask them. So, but yeah, I've had a little control freaky, and I'm kind of control freaky too. So, you know, I've sparred with the guy, but he's incredibly solid of a writer. He's in, you know, great libertarian mind. He's actually expatted. He's left the country. He lives in South America. So he you know, if you don't love America, get out. He got out. And he was well known for doing with James Babb, who's a cool guy who I met at Porkfest and really dug. James and George did the We Will Not Fly campaign and got national news recognition for it. They've also done FIJA stuff, fully informed jury nullification education. But yeah, like Joy Bear said, put him on a watch list. Whoopi Goldberg said, what he's doing is an act of terrorism by telling people not to fly because the TSA is intrusive. She said that was an act of terrorism. So a lot of famous statists hate him, which is a good point in my book. You know, yep, you're doing something right.
Gets a medal for that one.
Yeah. So this article, talk about this article. Read a little bit of this article.
Well, I just wanted to go back to my point. We had talked about how federal officials were actually going to go in and raid Porkfest. You know, they do it in the morning when people are hungover and not at their best. And I do think that it would not end well for any involved, both the law enforcement and the people there.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really the point of why I posted this. A lot of people basically took the tact where, yeah, they'd slaughter us and anyone who stood up would get shot and killed, which that is definitely a possibility.
It would be a difficult raid logistically because, you know, it's not a house you can throw a flashbang into.
Right. It's like so 20 decentralized.
Acres. You know, it's like 2,000 people spread over 20 acres and, you know, they're not all there at the time. You know, some are at the store in town and would probably, if they saw a convoy of black SUVs heading in, would probably, give someone a heads up, although they might do something like, you know, stop internet communication or something. And a lot of what George talked about was preparing for it in nonviolent ways of just like, yes, you know, having lookouts, having 24-hour lookouts there and, you know, up the road and having communication that can't be compromised and knowing ways out of Porkfest other than the main entrance, things like that.
Yeah, and okay, so the whole point of my posting this was to illustrate how if the feds were foolish enough to do that, it would be kind of a black eye to them because
they don't care. They never care. I mean, they don't care when they throw a flashbang and put a baby in a coma and everyone sees a picture on national news of the baby in the coma. The cops come out and say, oh, those people were terrorists for having drugs in the same house with a baby. It's their fault. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And that was one of the comments made was that I talked about how we could really give them a black eye in the court of public opinion. And, you know, somebody commented, well, they can just spin it so many ways. Like, yeah, they were all.
Well, there's also a lot of kids at Porkfest, which is, yes, you know, I mean, the goons would say that's dangerous people in betting with innocence. But I will say this. I have never, ever, ever in my life felt safer in a crowd of people than I did at Porkfest. You know,
yeah, same here.
Even like a rock concert where it's friendly or anything like that, there's always like, you know, somebody, some drunk frat boy who shows up. I didn't see any of that. And everybody's armed and everybody's peaceful and polite. Yeah. It's, yes. I've never felt, I realized that it hit me subconsciously as soon as I got there, but it hit me consciously, you know, about 2 days into it. I was just standing somewhere waiting in line for a porta potty or something. I was just like, and there were like, it was outside the big gay dance party and there were, you know, people being loud and drunk or high or whatever in little groups. And I was like, Usually when people are loud, I don't get high and I don't get drunk. And usually when people are loud, I stay in my house because I don't like to be around people. And, you know, when people are in groups of 10 or 12 and they're drunk and they're male, I'm like, ugh, this is going to be a trouble. But I'm like, this is not going to be trouble, man. It was so peaceful.
You know what I'm surprised we haven't seen yet? I'm surprised there hasn't been any individual arrests yet.
Well, because if one individual got arrested, what would happen? I mean, how many police would they send in to do it? You know, I think there are undercovers there. I think there's undercovers there gathering info for whatever they're going to do down the line. But if two cops went in and arrested one individual, I mean, it would probably be like the standoff at the Bundy Ranch. I mean, it would probably be like 100 people would surround the two cops and make them leave without their arrest.
Right. Well, see, I don't know if you guys were there, Chandler. I don't know if you were there for this year. I believe it was 2010 or 2011. There was actually a cruiser came through the campgrounds and just drove up and down through all the tent sites and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that happened last year. I didn't see it.
Okay. And then there was one year where there was some alleged helicopters flying over top of Rogers campgrounds early in the morning.
Yeah.
It quickly got blown out of proportion and everyone was saying helicopters.
I mean, helicopters fly over my house. You know, maybe they're spying on me. No, they're not. There's a hospital a mile from here and, you know.
Well, I'm hovering over top of the campground, so.
Yeah,
they weren't just passing over.
It could be a news helicopter, too.
Yeah.
It could be a private helicopter. I mean, it probably was a government helicopter, but unless someone saw markings and identified them with binoculars and looked them up, or was it a black helicopter with no markings?
That's where the stories went.
See,
the black helicopters are coming. Be prepared.
Coming. They're already here, man. Where you been?
They're coming to your house.
Yeah, they can try. So, like, one of the things that he was talking about in this article is what we can do. And he had some good ideas about having the rules of Porkfest be more clearly stated and having everyone agree to it, which you kind of do when you buy the ticket anyway.
Well, it's kind of weird because...
But it just seemed to me like the overriding theme that he was trying to convey in that was that we need to centralize Porkfest. The Porkfest committee, you know, the people, the organizers have to be more centralized about it. And I was just like, really?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the complaints and a lot of the reason people stayed away is because it's become more centralized. But, you know, the thing is, there's nothing unlibertarian about it being centralized and it being having censorship or it having rules because it's private property, man. It's like if you are a libertarian or you are an ANCAP, you know, your attitude about Porkfest you can be grumbling about it, but your final decision on it, if you're a real libertarian or ANCAP and understand private property, can only be, yeah, those people, I don't like them, but they can do what they want. It's, I mean, really, and the answer, if you don't like it, is to start your own fest, your own beef fest or whatever. And I think that's a great thing. And I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again for anyone who hasn't listened. There's a saying in AA, all you need to start a new meeting is a resentment in a coffee pot. And it's really funny because it's true. Because in AA, first of all, you know, it says in the AA book that alcoholics need to get rid of resentments because they'll kill you and make you drink again or just be miserable and die or kill yourself or something. But, you know, a lot of meetings are started because someone doesn't like somebody or the way a meeting's run, and you can start another meeting. All you need is a resentment in a coffee pot, and all you need to start a competing Porkfest is a resentment in an acre of land, you know, that you can rent for a week.
And that's popping up now, too.
Good.
Yeah, it is. All over the place.
Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends on our post-game Monday morning football analyses of Porkfest.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends!
Yes! Freedom Fiends for your brain!
Yes, Freedom Fiends! All right.
You're melting my brain, Michael.
I'm intentionally melting your brain. And I think I'm going to leave this. Nah, that's just a little too much, isn't it? If I make a little less. I don't know. How's this? Okay, here we go. So we're talking about Porkfest and George Donnelly's articles. I want to mention another George Donnelly article. It's pretty awesome. It's called 11 Reasons to Draft Dodge the Libertarian Guerrilla Army. And this is the most well thought out and funny, but right on descriptions of why all the people saying it's time to start shooting, that's a bad plan. And it's,
I never understood that.
Well, it's not new to libertarianism. I mean, it goes back to, like, you know, Mike Vandebau has talked about, and Mike Vandebau too has, like, actually assembled an army. I wouldn't say that, but he has a lot of followers who've been in the army and know tactics, whereas, you know, most libertarians, like, carry a handgun and have fantasies, I think. But it's not going to work, and this doesn't even go into an ethical damnation of the idea. It just goes into a tactical why it won't work. And this is one of the funniest ones, man. Number 6, it's not compatible with our individual dispositions. Libertarians and anarchists in North America are too individualistic to join an army. Being part of a cohesive fighting force requires great sacrifice, grueling hard work, and commitment. If you think organizing activism and events is like herding cats now, wait until you have someone calling himself a captain telling two libertarian privates to dig a latrine. The privates will say, your authority is illegitimate.
Yeah. You're right. That's right. It would never work.
Yeah, it would never work.
Can't even get people to stand together for a picture.
Yeah. And, you know, that was I saw Adam Kokesh. That was pretty much his answer, too. He's been in combat. Anyone who's been in combat is not going to rush to that's the answer, because they don't have a video game attitude of combat. They've been shot right. at. They've seen friends shot. They've had to shoot at people. You know, they understand war is no picnic, although soldiers do end up eating outside a lot. Okay, go on, Chandler and Garrett, with your analyses of George Donnelly's excellent article, Porkfest Will Be Raided. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of people don't like this article because it's kind of a buzzkill, especially like it came out like a day or two after Porkfest, I think, and we're all still, I mean, I'm still having dreams where I'm at Porkfest. That's how cool it was to me, literally. And although the dream I had was like, I'm trying to get to the media room to do this show and I'm a few minutes late and I can't find it. And it's Porkfest is a different layout. You know, one of those like dream things where you combine.
So it's like waking up in the classroom with your,
it's the adult radio. It's the radio version of finding yourself naked in school, that dream. Yeah. And I'm trying to call GCN to tell them to put on a replay and I can't get a hold of the phone. Doesn't work. And yeah, but no, I've had a bunch of Porkfest dreams. I want to be back there. I almost think DJ and I should just go camp at Rogers and wait for next year, but we're not gonna do that.
Wow, so you were really moved by this whole Porkfest thing.
I was totally moved by Porkfest, man. And
it's a great experience.
So George Donnelly, basically what he's doing that I don't see anybody else doing here, is talking about a possible problem that you have with growth of decentralized organizations, and he's making suggestions to look at for what to do about it. And I don't agree with all the suggestions, but I agree with some of them, and he's bringing it up, which needs to be done, and people need to look at this.
Well, yeah, one of the things that he mentions is that a lot of libertarians are aware, but they just complain all day, and they don't offer any solutions. And he says right in this article, the solutions that he offers may not be right for Porkfest, but it's a starting point to get a discussion going on what we can do to prepare and how we can make it more secure and
safe and fun.
Safe and fun, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who go to any event, and I'm not just blaming libertarians, but I'm sure this is true of anything that's we're a bunch of, you know, minority people who all agree on one thing that defines them as differently than everybody else, get together regularly and do something. You know, I'm sure Burning Man has this problem. I'm sure, you know, Grateful Dead concerts had this problem of, like, how do you organize the unorganizable? And it's, you know, really, here's the thing. If you can figure out how to do it at Porkfest, I think Liberty can work. I think it's a microcosm.
Yeah, you have to start from a common ground, a common goal that everyone has.
I don't know. Not in private property, man. It's different than that. There's no, like, you know, collectivism about it. But if it can be figured out how to, if Porkfest can figure out how to run not collectively, but, you know, decentrally centralized and centrally planned decentralization, it is a microcosm for proof that this thing could work. And I think it's already proof that it could work, because I was in I was in LibPair with you guys for a week. It was great.
And it was awesome.
We'll be back with some cop tyranny when we come back in hour two of Freedom Fiends. Worms!
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, by sheep or sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, it sounds like you're ready to upgrade to digital.
Is that the central poorly trained monkey?
That's the central scrutinizer I did with software so I could, like, micro alter. I spent like 2 hours editing that. I guess we still got the flange on. So this is Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. So, you know, interesting thing about July 4th. And this plays into central planning, which we were talking about in the last episode, about public versus private central planning. Every July 4th, every city in America blows a bunch of stuff up in the air, and everyone goes and applauds it. And it's really pretty. And they steal your tax money to do it. But you're a bad American if you complain. Here's the thing.
Call me a bad American.
What's that?
I said, then call me a bad American.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody says, you know, they're celebrating the troops when they do the July 4th celebrations. But about 20%, according to the U.S. government, about 20% of returning soldiers have PTSD. Some people say it's higher than that, and they don't want to report it because they don't want to get drugged, don't want to get their guns taken away, don't want to get their benefits taken away, don't want to get busted down, whatever, all the side effects that come with PTSD. You know, not the side effects, but the, like, bureaucratic side effects. A lot of soldiers, a lot of military who have PTSD, who've been in combat, hate July 4th because the sound of what sounds like bombs going off just scares the heck out of them, and they can't sleep for days or weeks. So when you're celebrating by blowing stuff up, celebrating the military, you are scaring the returning heroes that you are celebrating, the returning people that you are calling heroes and celebrating. So maybe maybe that shouldn't be centrally planned everywhere if you're caring about those people and don't want to scare them, give them nightmares. So, and that's the tragedy of the commons. That's the tragedy of, you know, group people not having a choice whether or not they elect officials who decide what to do, not only with the stolen public money, but, you know, what, not only to steal the public money, but what they do with it. You know, do you really need stuff blowing up in your neighborhood and scaring people and scaring cats, man? Cats and dogs run away every year, that happens. So in a libertarian paradise, there'd be, you know, private areas, private land, everything would be privatized. And, you know, if you wanted to do it in one area away from other people's private land, you could do it. And that's how Porkfest is. Porkfest is private. It's private property. They can keep people out. They have kept people out. They can make rules, you know, for people that don't want to follow rules, and the people have to follow them or leave. They pick the speakers. Not everybody likes the speakers they pick. But here's the thing. It's ridiculous to just complain about it. You should complain a little bit about it if you don't like it, and then go start your own event. Because really, there shouldn't be one rock star pork fest. There should be a million rock star pork fest. There should be, you know, 1,000 different events like that all over the country, of different sizes and different attitudes and different types of speakers. And that's what I want to talk about now is decentralization. I love decentralization. I really hate, I hate the idea of centrally bureaucratic gatekeepers for anything. And that's all government is. Is one monolithic, you know, group of brutalist architecture buildings that are designed to scare you, that are full of people that are armed with handguns and can call people with rifles to scare you and take your money. And okay. Even in the private sector, I hate it. Like, you know, when I was in a band, when I started out in a band, there was no chance we were ever going to get signed to a major label. We did by accident, which is kind of weird, and it actually was the end of the band. But, you know, the internet has changed all that, and it's not just the technology of the internet. It's like the vast human mind leap forward of being able to work, not collectively, but selectively across the miles. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how Garrett lost his job and how jobs shouldn't be losable. I mean, they should be, not in the sense of like status who want to give you jobs for life and steal money to enforce them and have laws that you can't get fired. I'm talking about like, if you're a skilled person like Garrett is, who does, you know, computer-aided drawing, drafting, yeah. A job shouldn't be somewhere you go every day and clock in. It should be something you do from home, from anywhere, in your underwear. And, you know, a job doesn't last for years. A job lasts for weeks or months. And when it's done, you're so in demand that you immediately get another work, a job, well, you know?
Michael, we had discussed this pretty in-depth a few episodes ago. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but we had talked about how you need to kind of be prepared, have multiple forms of income coming in,
yeah.
So you're not just relying on, you know, one boss. Because what happens if one day, like in my situation, the boss decided, you know what, he can't keep this ship afloat. He had to literally throw 75% of his employees over.
You all became flotsam and jetsam in the corporate wake.
Yeah, except he cut the ropes, and luckily, you know, I had kind of been preparing for this, so I was getting my computer set up. I wanted to have all the software myself and be able to do the things that I do on my own. You know, I was working on my website, getting that all together. So what happened was I got laid off around 9 o'clock on Wednesday. By 11 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday, I was already doing work for somebody else.
Paid work.
Good. Yes. It was a really exciting feeling for me, too, just because of the fact that, you know, I kind of saw this coming. I didn't think it was going to happen so soon, but since, you know, I had put those basically like stepping stones out there for me, I was able to kind of, you know, instead of jumping ship and drowning, I was able to jump onto a nice little safety boat there.
Was that in any way prepping for that inspired by the conversation we had?
I think prepping for that inspired the conversation in my mind, and I thought that was something that needed to be talked about.
Yeah, I've been doing this since 2001. I quit my day job in 2001 and have been doing, you know, I've had like 20 jobs at a time since then, all from home. And, you know, when one of them falls through, it's irritating, but it's like, it's as devastating to my life as like, you know, burning a TV dinner or something. You know, it's not like losing a job with benefits that you're locked into and planning on doing your whole life, to where you're like, how will I feed my family? It's like, oh, gosh, darn it. I lost that job. All right. Well, I have 19
others. It's really annoying, 19 but at least you have
19 others.
It's really annoying, but at least you have like the peanut butter and jelly in the cabinet, so you can make yourself a sandwich and not starve.
So Chandler, chime in here.
So I was thinking about what you were talking about with decentralization, and we always hear the term celebrate diversity. That's one that government loves to throw at us. But when they talk about celebrating diversity, it's forced. It's,
well, yeah, celebrating diversity from the government means we want everyone to vote for this guy.
Right.
Really.
Well, we want this idea or this race or this nationality or what have you to be the norm, and you have to accept it. But when you have decentralization, like at Porkfest and within the libertarian community, it leads to a type of diversity and innovation, but it's all voluntary.
Yeah, I'll say something that would probably irk any racists listening is that from a genetic standpoint, people from different races and different parts of the world and different lineages mixing strengthens the human species. And keeping it like only mixing with your own tribe, like, you know, the more narrow you get it, leads to like, you know, developmentally disabled and broken and physically sick offspring. I mean, think about like, you know, the Russian and British royal families. It's like, you know, thousands of years of inbreeding has led to like, you know, I guess they've been called like retarded kings and things, you know, people that can't function but are a figurehead and are not strong specimens of the species. And that's true with ideas too. And it's when they're not forced, when people voluntarily cooperate with the people they want to cooperate with, you get vast things coming forth, like you know, Bitcoin, BitTorrent, all sorts of social networking, all sorts of the things that we like and use every day and dig, usually came out of really small groups of people. And I know Bitcoin was supposedly one person, but there's a lot of theories that it was a small group of people. And certainly, even if it was one person, there was a small group of people who did a lot of work on it after that and made it huge, you know. And good ideas get propagated in the absence of government regulation and government control and government clampdowns. And governments are the ultimate in non-decentralization. They're the ultimate in centralization. You know, you think about, you know, the Russian communist system, you know, the Soviet communists or Hitler. Those are kind of the thing, or Mussolini's fascism. Those are kind of the ultimate, taken to the ultimate end of everything is controlled by the government. Everything that is not favoring the government and praising the government is eliminated or deported or murdered. And really, though, all governments are just, they're like that. They're just not as far on the continuum toward it, but they are all headed that way. And they're all headed towards a collapse because those kind of things don't work. You know, socialism doesn't work. The best example, the best longest running example of total government centralization, of total centralization, is North Korea. That is, in modern times, the longest running country that's had a totalitarianist. And the people are starving. I mean, they're literally starving. And literally, like, you have to join the government to not starve. And even then you starve. Like, a lot of the soldiers in the North Korean army are starving. And when they do photo ops, they take the ones that they feed and put them out in front, so they don't look like their army is starving. So yeah, centralization is horrible. Decentralization with voluntary interaction is great. And that's, you know, the thing about celebritarians, I don't really like the idea of rock star libertarians. And here's why. I think they reach, and it's not because I'm not one, because I'm kind of on my way to becoming one. But by the time I become one, I will probably have replaced myself with 20 or 30 other people. That's why I'm training you guys to do radio. That's why I'll say on air, you know, oh, Chandler, you did that wrong. And it's supposed to be bad radio to point out your mistakes, but on the Freedom Fiends, it's good radio because this is a teaching hospital. I want to make, you know, I don't want to be a libertarian rock star. I want to make 1,000 libertarian tiny rock stars. You know, it's like the punk rock thing. When I was into punk rock, the whole punk rock thing was it was a reaction against arena rock. It was like, you know, we don't want to pay $25 and go see Journey play for 20,000 people. We don't want to have one band we like. We want to have, you know, 50 bands we like that each play to 100 people and play six bands per show for 30 minutes each. And that's how it's done. It's decentralized. It's not communist. It's free market. And of course, you know, kind of like ones would break out of that and become the popular ones. But then other ones would come up and knock them down. And I'm training those people. On radio.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent
link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent link
and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is the Central Scrutinizer on the Freedom Fiends.
Yep. Okay. The Central Scrutinizer sounds all cute and cuddly now.
Yeah, that's just to get into your home. He's evil. If you don't know what that is, that's there's a Frank Zappa song where Frank Zappa record and a song where he talked a lot about the Central Scrutinizer, and that was his word for the people who wanted to censor his records, you know, for the PTA moms who were married to senators like Al Gore's wife, what's her name, Tipper Gore. You know, they had like congressional subcommittee hearings where Frank Zappa talked, and Dee Snider from Twisted Sister was hilarious. Sister. Man, if you wanted to check that out, that's on YouTube. But yeah, it was just a bunch of nanny people, you know, not understanding the free market, and of course trying to centrally plan things, and it had the unintended consequence, you know, the Streisand effect, as they call it, where you try to take something down and it makes it more popular. Basically, they couldn't make record companies put a warning label on records, but record companies did it voluntarily, and my record, my band Bomb, on Warner Brothers, our record Hate Fed Love in 1991, was one of the first records that had that sticker on it. It wasn't even a sticker. It's like printed in the artwork on the CD cover. And the thing that happened was that it got to the point where kids would not buy a record unless it had that warning sticker. It was
like a badge
of honor. So, you know, the nanny moms trying to stop the cussing actually increased the cussing. And like bands that didn't cuss would have one song where they did cuss just so they could put that label on. Because if you had one cuss in one song out of 10 songs, you had to put that, you know, pretty much the industry, the major labels would put that on. But yeah,
I remember when that stuff started up, and I was actually denied a Marilyn Manson album once. I wasn't allowed to get it, and I had to go convince my mom to buy it for me.
speaking of people trying to control other people and centrally scrutinize them and nanny laws, Chandler's got a delightful story to entertain us with. Go ahead, and it's true.
Yes, totally delightful. So last night, I was coming home from a friend's house. So on a country road, not very busy, but it's the 4th of July weekend, so you know that the cops are out in force ready to generate revenue.
They celebrate freedom by arresting you for nanny laws on 4th of July. There's a lot of that.
Well, yeah, that the irony did not escape me, but apparently it escaped the cop. So I come to this stop sign and I stopped, you know, it was a complete stop, and I pull out and I see the blues flashing and I'm like, geez,
you
I
see hope that's the not- red, white and blue flashing. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Like all the cops' lights now are red, white and blue. Like they want to they want to scare you with America because they are they are the government. You know, they are the arm of the government that enforces the laws, because without them being willing to put a gun to your head, all laws are really just suggestions. And that's a quote from the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can get at gunsandweed.com. But I digress. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So I get pulled over. I stop the car and, you know, turn it off, and I'm really polite. And by the way, I've noticed that cops do this thing now. Not only do they keep their blues flashing, but they have a huge spotlight that they shine on you and practically blind
you. Yeah, it's like Nazi Germany. And, you know, people get upset if you compare anything in America to Nazis, but it's really just a matter of degrees. And, okay, let's compare it to Stalin. Stalin used searchlights to scare people.
Yeah, and that's what it does. But it didn't intimidate me. It just annoyed me greatly. So I went through the whole spiel, and I was very polite, because I've come to the realization that when dealing with cops, you know, I can't go into my whole libertarian rhetoric.
It ain't going to work, and that's where the sovereign citizens fail, because they believe that if they speak their version of the truth to power, power is going to go, oh, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't know you knew the magic words. Carry on, have a good drive.
Right. Right, so the cop, you know, I asked him why he pulled me over.
The only magic words are, am I being detained? Am I free to go? And if they detain you or arrest you, I don't want to talk without a lawyer. Those are the only magic words.
Well, that's it.
And I do not consent to a search, but go on. I digress.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney. I'm just quoting stuff I've heard. I'm surprised
that the cop didn't ask to search my vehicle. But I, of course, I had a passenger in my car, and you know, they had to have his name. Oh. No, it was a friend of mine. And they wanted his identification. He's like, no, I don't have any. Sorry. And they got his name or whatever. So long story short, the cop wrote me out a ticket. And I was very frustrated. I was seeing red. And I said, look, I understand you're a law enforcement officer. And, you know, part of your job is to generate revenue for the state so that it can continue its evil enterprise. No, I didn't say that. But I wanted to, but I held my tongue.
Go on.
So and I said, but look, man, I'm appealing to your humanity. You know, I said, I'm a single dad working as hard as I can. I pay my taxes. I do everything, yada, yada, yada. I was like, can you just cut me some slack? And he went into this thing. He's like, nope, people have to learn to be responsible. And I'm like, look, man, I am really big on personal responsibility. I think that's a driving force in my life.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Hello.
From the Central Scrutinizer. That's what we call the government. That's what we call the NSA. That's what we call all these people that spy on you unconstitutionally. And you know, the thing is, spying on you constitutionally ain't no picnic either, as they say. There's a lot of people say, I want to get back to the Constitution, but you know, the Constitution basically allows any judge to write any warrant to search you at any time for, you know, barely anything that they can call probable cause. Yeah.
Yep.
Chandler had a cop lie to him. Tell me a little bit more. We went to break, but tell me a little more about how this cop lied to pull you over.
Okay. So, yeah, I stopped. I was driving down a country road, not a lot of traffic, about 9:30 at night. So there was really no endangerment involved. And I stopped at the stop sign, then pulled out. And the cop pulled me over and said, you know, I'm writing you a ticket for failure to stop, which, by the way, is $131, which is utterly ridiculous. It's highway robbery. So I appealed to the guy. I said, look, man, I know you're just a law enforcement, you know, generating revenue for the state, doing your thing. But, you know, can you cut me some slack? I'm a single dad. I work my butt off. I try to do the right thing. Yada. And he said, well, people need to learn to be responsible. And what you are doing is endangering lives. And I'm like, look, man, I'm really big about personal responsibility. And there is no victim. There was no crime. And I was endangering no one. And he just would not hear it. And, you know, I said, I'm trying to appeal to your sense of humanity. And he didn't care. And he gave me the ticket and left. And by the way, it was a state trooper, which I will tell you, the system is more ingrained in those state troopers than in the local cops. I've noticed that in my dealings with cops.
And more as time goes on, they're going to be more hard A about things, because all of the kind of like good cop, you know, Andy Griffith types are retiring and
they're being drummed out.
And they're being replaced by guys coming back from, you know, being street cops for the Army in Fallujah.
Yep.
And those are guys that look at every human being around them as the enemy, literally.
A threat.
Yeah, as a
they're
threat.
They're a threat.
And they treat and you like that.
And that's the thing. Like, as I was driving home, after I got done seeing Red, I almost felt bad for the guy, because he's in this system, indoctrinated totally. It's his, you know, it's how he earns his money. It's his life's work, I guess. And he's totally lost his humanity. Well, he has that uniform on it. And you can't tell me that that doesn't rub off into your personal life, too. So.
You know, when I was making the new cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, I didn't only cut out where people said, we need to use the Constitution to save us, because that won't work. And it's a farce. It's basically, the Bill of Rights is... I'm not saying the Constitution is for us. I'm saying that that being your plan of, yeah, we're going to get back to the Constitution, that is not going to work. You know, not even to go into the moral thing of like, it's a contract you didn't sign, so therefore it's slavery. But, you know, the Bill of Rights does offer some. And when people say, we love the Constitution, they're talking about the Bill of Rights. They haven't even read the Constitution, because if they did, they'd realize it allows everything to be set up that we're at now. You know, you can't get back to the Constitution. You're living under it. I mean, the Commerce Clause, the General Welfare Clause, the ability to lay and collect taxes without, the only checks and balances are other congressmen. And if you just stack them with people that want to steal and control, you could be constitutional and do whatever you want. So that's not the thing to get back to. But the thing is, I also cut out in that movie the couple times where people said, not all cops are bad. There are good cops. And it's like, I cut that out because it's kind of a misnomer. There may be individuals who are cops who are good people. There may be the guy who, if you, you know, who won't even lie, who pull you over if you actually, you know, roll a stop sign on a country road with nobody else around, which is completely safe, but he's violating a law, you know, and if you plead and beg to him and say you're a single dad and you can't afford this ticket and you won't do it again, they will cut your break. I guess that would counts as a good cop. But all cops have to enforce laws, stupid laws, or they will lose their job as cops. So
yeah,
there may be individuals that are good people, but the system as a whole
corrupts
them. Which that guy told you, no, it doesn't corrupt them. By design, you enter that system and you have to do horrible things to people. All governments all set up situations where two people are doing something that neither of them want to do. And that's what you encounter. The cop said, I want to have humanity, but I can't, so I have to give you this ticket. And he didn't have humanity, too, because he wasn't playing by his own rules. He was he lied and pulled you over when you did a full stop just because he wanted to generate some revenue. But the whole system exists to run you through and get you in the system. When a cop pulls you over and he says, good day, where are you coming from? It's a nice day. What are you up to? He's fishing. He's trying to get you to say something that'll give him more power to get into your car, to search it, to check.
Building his case.
To build a case. That's what cops do. That is their job description, is to build cases and get people in the system. It's a broken system in a libertarian paradise situation, there would be competing law enforcement organizations on competing private roads. And, you know, you'd use the ones where they have humanity. And there's,
you know, what's an interesting dynamic here, too.
What?
I don't know if you guys saw this in the article yet, but it, apparently the first stop sign came out of Detroit, Michigan.
Ah, of course it did.
Of course it did.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, just when we were talking about this, it reminded me, you know, stop signs haven't always been around. So what in the world did people do when they came to an intersection while driving before stop signs? Was everyone just blowing through these? Of course, the cars were a bit slower.
Did you see the experiment?
It was kind of anarchy in a good way, in this, you know, in the sense of like people look for the other person, they look for the other person. When actually we read a newspaper article from like, I don't know, 1923 or something, where some state legislature was like demanding to outlaw cars, calling them devil machines, and saying that if we can't outlaw them, we at least have to make it so you get arrested if you drive more than 10 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, there was an interesting article. I don't remember what the town was, but they took out all the stop signs, and accidents were actually reduced because people were forced to accept personal responsibility, and they were actually more careful and more courteous.
Yeah, yep. It's all about none of it's about safety. It's all about generating revenue and having control. I mean, a really good example is in Keene, where the Robin Hooder activists have been putting nickels in parking meters so people don't get a ticket. I mean, they're spending their own money to save people from a ticket, and a lot of the townsfolk have, you know, might as well have pitchforks and torches. They hate them. They're like, don't save us from this. You're stealing money from the government. And actually, Ian Freeman did the math on it. It's something like, these aren't the actual numbers, but it's a discrepancy like this. It's something like, you know, the city of Keene spends $200,000 a year on parking enforcement and generate like $2,004 a year from parking enforcement. So basically, they've got this whole army of people bothering people and wrecking their day to make $5,000 to $4,000 a year, something like
that.
It's
a jobs program, though.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, going back to like Garrett and I talking about quitting, you know, your day job and making your own 20 jobs where if you lose one, it doesn't matter. Not many people are willing to do that. A lot more people are qualified to do that than would think so. Some people could never do that. Some people aren't smart enough or creative enough and really could only ever sit and do one thing over and over and over. But a lot of people are smart enough to do it. But a lot of people don't want
to get government jobs.
Yeah, those people get government jobs. I mean, really, I could do a whole episode after flying for the first time in 7 years of how useless the TSA is. I mean, I was literally thinking how easy it would be to get something on that plane, and I'll probably never get to fly again because I'm saying that, but I would never do it. I would never bring anything on a plane I can't, but I was just thinking how many holes there are in that system. I'm thinking about, like, once you're in and passed, you know, there's all these janitors. Are all the janitors searched? You know, we drove from one terminal to another on a bus. They took us on a bus through the back of the airport, and part of it was a public street. I mean, literally, you know, somebody could come by and toss something, you know, through a window onto one of those buses. There's a million ways it could be done. The TSA is not security. It is security theater. Yeah. And it's a jobs program. And it's to get people used to being searched so they can expand that to places other than airports, to, you know, roads, private property, malls, Walmart, etc.
Well, I've told the story before. I don't know if it was on your show, Michael, but I have a friend of mine, her brother works for the TSA up here in the big airport in Maine.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, tell me about it. He's not, though. He makes good money. But this guy's a good guy, and he's really, you know, he's an intelligent guy. And he told me that his coworkers are some of the dumbest and laziest people he has ever met.
They're hiring people off pizza boxes. I know. I've seen the ads.
I thought that was a joke, and I asked him, and he said, no, it's totally true. And the way to advance is to continue that sort of behavior. Like, he is thinking about transferring to a new job because there's no advancement for somebody who's competent and, you know, has a heart.
Yeah, and has a heart. Yeah, and the thing is, like, with government expansion of government, you end up with these cushy jobs that wouldn't exist in the private sector, or if they would, pay a lot more for a lot less qualification than they would in the private sector when you combine all the benefits, to the point where it's really hard for an individual to say, you know, not only will I not work for the government, but I'm not going to work for a boss and I'm going to be my own boss. Like, I don't have health insurance. I'm going to get it not because Obama tells me to, but I'm already in violation of that. But I'm going to get it because I'm 50, and you know, that's when you probably need health insurance. But you know, my job doesn't have any benefits. You know, it's I'm working for myself. I get, you know, 50 different, you know, all together, like 50 different sources of income, and like 20 jobs a year, probably small jobs a year. And there's no benefits with it. You have to get your own benefits. So a lot of people want to take the easier road, and really the easier road in a lot of ways, Obama's not the problem. Obama's a horrible tyrant and hates you and wants to see you in a cage and wants to take all your money and all your guns and all your rights, but he's not the problem. The problem is like 200 years of laziness, you know, of a system where 51% of the stupidest people can decide what to do. That is a broken system. It can't be fixed. The real answer is personal responsibility, and personal responsibility is tough, man. And I think the whole thing with Porkfest is a good example of it. It's like something amazing happening year after year. And there's a lot of people that have complaints about you're doing it wrong, but those people are saying you're doing it wrong aren't stepping up and starting their own festivals. They should be.
Yep.
Yeah. Some of them are. Ian Freeman, well, is, you know, he has his own festival.
Porkfest is a classic example of how a libertarian paradise can work. And I've heard the argument, yeah, but that's on a small scale for a week. You know, try that in real life. And it's like, okay, I get where you're going with this, but why does it have to be on a large scale? Why can't anarchism, voluntarism, whatever you want to call it, work on a city-by-city level?
Well,
and I think at the same time, it's a week long party too. It's kind of a bad example of LibPair in the fact that everybody's on vacation and trying to have a lot of fun.
I think it's a good example. Example, man.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends, we have a movie recommendation, and yes, I'm falling down a well here. There's a movie you should all go see, because Garrett and I are going to be discussing it at length next Saturday. The movie's called Mr. Nobody. It stars Jared Leto, who is in my movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And it's a really good movie. It's a really strange movie. It's called Mr. Nobody, and Mr. Nobody is available for streaming on Netflix. So got a homework assignment. If you want it, go watch Mr. Nobody to prepare for next Saturday. It's a really good movie. It's really strange, but it's really good. And Garrett has a clarification because he didn't get to finish his sentence, and it sounded like he was bashing Porkfest, and he was not. So what you got, Garrett?
Oh, exactly. And I just want to make sure we did, nobody misconstrues what I was trying to say. I think what I was trying to get at is Porkfest is a vacation for a lot of people. And I guess what I'm saying is in LibPair, it would be a lot wider. It wouldn't be such a concentration of all the partying and all the – I mean, there's a little bit of chaos that goes on during the days. But it's fun because people are hanging out, and they're very excited to see people that they haven't seen in a year except for on the Facebooks. And
well, that's how conventions are. I mean, conventions of any kind where like-minded people who – all revolve their life around one thing. Like, you know, I went to DJ and I on our first wedding anniversary, we went to the Podcast Expo in 2006 in Ontario, California, and spent the weekend in a hotel and hung out with podcasters. And that's all we talked about. It was all podcasting all the time. And it was people who believed that podcasting was the future because it was in its infancy at the time. It was interesting. I saw Free Talk Live won an award there for best political podcast. They weren't there to receive it, but you know, now if I were there, they might even have me receive it for them. I don't know. Probably not. Who knows? But yeah, I'd get up there and yak. But anyway, yeah, it was like, you know, it's condensing a year into, you know, into one week or one weekend. And there's a CSI that's like a murder takes place at a convention for dwarves or for little people. And like, you know, the one lady they interview says like, hey man, nobody has time to answer your questions. I mean, this is like, you know, a year's worth of, you know, networking for business combined with like the prom, combined with Valentine's Day, combined with a dating service, combined with, you know, it's like it's doing everything networking wise in person in one weekend or one week that you do in one. So, and you know, it's kind of a party too. I haven't been to what's Ian Freeman's Liberty Fest that's in the winter in Keenvention or something. I mean,
Keenvention, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Then there's also another one too that's in New Hampshire that's in a hotel. What's that one called?
Isn't that Liberty Forum?
Yeah. And that one looks like it's less of a party and more of, you know, just, I mean, it's probably a party atmosphere there, but the videos I've seen, it looks more like, you know, attending lectures and workshops. And, you know, it's hard to really judge. Here's the thing, like, there's been some mainstream media coverage of Porkfest, and, you know, some of them, one of them said it really well. He said, like, it's hard to diss, you know, the weirdos when they're having a better time than you are. And another one kind of said it was a microcosm of why libertarianism won't work, because the sewage was backed up and the water was off for a day because somebody drained the well from up on the top of the hill. But I've heard rumors, too, that that was like some good old boys from in town who came in to mess with it. So maybe part of Porkfest planning next time is to have a guy with a rifle standing guarding the infrastructure, you know? Yep. Who knows? Basically, I blame the government. I blame statists who came in and wrecked it or tried to wreck it. And it wasn't wrecked anyway. It still worked, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had porta potties.
They had porta potties. Yeah.
And cold showers. It was great.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Anybody who's planning on some libertarian revolution, if you can't deal with cold showers and no sewage functions, you're not going to do well in any kind of revolution. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you can't camp, you can't fight a civil war. And we're not asking for civil war. There's a lot of reasons it won't work. Some are moral, but moreover, when the libertarian sergeant tells the libertarian privates to dig a latrine, the libertarian privates are going to say, I do not recognize your authority, according to George Donnelly, and he's probably right. So this needs to be an educational, really, it needs to be a free market thing to where, like, everybody just says, hey, liberty's cooler than the state. That's what's going to win.
Right on.
Give me a worms, brother.
Worms.
Worms. Worms, worms, worms. Meow. Worms. Worms, worms, worms.